The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Chuck and Chernoff. It's 3 o'clock on the dot. You know what that means. It's time for Matt Lanham and the King. Chuck and Chernoff. Chuck and Chernoff on the fan. Driving home in a traffic jam. But we got Chuck and Chernoff on the fan. Chuck and Chernoff. Chuck and Chernoff. Chuck and Chernoff. The fan.
All righty then, here we go in our 3 o'clock hour. Chuck and Chernoff with you. As we get ready for the Braves and the Red Sox. Braves trying to sweep a quick two-gamer before another day off and a trip to Miami on a debut night for Vaughn Grissom that we'll talk about coming up in a couple of moments. The 3 o'clock hour of this show is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. Listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast that's posted at 680 The Fan's website under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. Let's start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to everybody's friend, Chuck Oliver.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chuck.
Guess what?
Bye.
I'm pretty certain that a Buford game I did at the Georgia Dome about 8 years ago, I still never got paid for.
We'll go get it.
Eddie Money owes me $44. This guy owes me $5.50.
So go get it from them.
Well, he's dead now.
Oh. Should make it a little easier to get then.
No, he's not. He still owes me, too.
Have you thought about filing some sort of suit? Because I know the people's lawyer. Just saying, of the estate of Eddie Money?
It was GPB. No, Eddie Money has gone to the hereafter.
If it was GPB, couldn't you get it from viewers like us?
I'll take it. I'm owed.
Would you like a Kickstarter? We can try to raise you some money for the work you did.
Why do you bring up things that make me mad right before I go on the air?
Apologize. It wasn't me. It was Hoyt. I'm just playing along. The Braves were winners last night, 9-7. They ended their long national nightmare, otherwise known as a three-game losing streak. Boy, last night was a wild one, too. The Braves had leads last night of 1-0 early. Then they had a 4-2 lead. Then they had a 6-5 lead. Then they had a 7-6 lead, and they eventually won the game 9-7. So let's get the rough patch out of the way. Charlie Morton, after a really good start a week ago, just couldn't find anything.
Kaboom, man, that bomb. Did you see his body language?
Yeah, the one that he knew was gone right after it was hit.
My gosh.
So 3 home runs last night in 6 innings, 6 hits, 5 earned, a walk, 7 Ks. But to the credit of the Braves' pen, they covered 5-plus innings and allowed only 1 earned in relief. Couple of standouts. A.J. Minter against Raviel Devers. Raviel Devers is one of the better hitters
in
the game.
He is.
He looked silly against Minter. Like, that was just sick, nasty 97 up
in
the zone.
He's a closer.
Yes, he profiles that way, and he was awesome in that instance. Then you got McHugh, Iglesias, Kenley, and Dylan Lee, along with Tyler Matzik, to cover 4 2/3 of 1-run ball. Did you get some Matzik postseason vibes? Did anybody else get some? He was filthy last night in the 11th. Chuck, he was touching 96 and 97 again. That was like filthy Matzik postseason as he closed it out. Now, the Braves order, the offense. The top three, Acuna, Dansby, and Riley went 8-for-17, 6 runs driven in, 5 runs scored, a home run, 2 doubles, a triple. They were on base 9 times and 18 plate appearances. That'll work.
And the pitch that Riley deposited, that was down and in, and he still cranked it, man.
We hit it over the monster.
My gosh.
I don't want to just ignore the home run or the triple because, I mean, I'm so spoiled by Austin just hitting everything that I shouldn't just gloss over, but he was 3-for-6 with the homer, the 2 doubles, the triple, the 5 RBIs. I could not believe the Red Sox pitched to Riley in the 11th inning with a base open.
Because
I thought their strategy was...
Even if he wasn't the hottest hitter in baseball, which, by the way, since July 1st, he is. If he wasn't, it was the right choice.
They had a lefty up in the pen. Olsen's on deck. You go lefty-lefty and set up a force at every base. When they brought the infield in and you're going to pitch to Riley, thank you? Like, that was easy for him to hit a bullet that scored 2 in that case. So a big night for Austin, who also now ties Hank Aaron's franchise record. as the fastest player to reach 30 home runs and 30 doubles in a season. Aaron did it in 1959 in his 111th game, and now Riley has done it too. It's the second time we've mentioned Austin and Hank Aaron in the last 2 weeks.
Help me. This is a cursory point, Matt. It doesn't really matter. But was it Harris? Was it his double that went to left center?
He went the other way tied the game. Scored Arcia.
He had a line drive that cleared the shortstop's head in Fenway. That's on the track.
I love
that. There should be more room there, shouldn't there? Like, literally, it's a line drive past the shortstop, and the guy's getting it off the wall.
So that was a big hit.
It's like you're playing on a church softball field.
It is. Orlando Arcia had the big hit before he had to leave with the hamstring. But let's talk about Acuna, who had himself a great night. I think we can stop worrying for those of you who were worrying about Ronald Acuna. He had three more hits last night. He was 3-for-5 with 3 runs scored, a stolen base. His speed was that short list elite stuff. The Dansby double.
Slide, damn.
Well, the slide is one thing. We'll get there. But the Dansby double to right, where he's running on the 3-2 pitch, and I don't know if there's a faster player in the game, and he's coming off ACL 5 minutes ago. Think about that.
Where wasn't one of the just guesses, well, maybe he's favoring the knee or he doesn't trust it yet. Well, maybe he does.
I keep telling you, I think in the outfield, stop and starting still gets in his mind. And running the bases, you just know you're going, and I'm sliding head first. So you mentioned the slide. That's one of the greatest slides I've ever seen. You have Harris down there telling him to come on the inside of the plate. That was an athletic play that very few baseball players can make, contorting himself, running at the speed he was running. Ronald changes the game in so many ways, and you saw that again last night. Over his last 6 games, Chuck, he's 11-for-24, 2 doubles, home run, 4 RBIs, 6 runs scored, 2 stolen bases. Folks, he's fine. I tell you, don't worry about superstars. You're wasting your time.
Yeah, when they moved us to afternoons here in 11, you started watching baseball, and you said, like, for what, like 11 years now, that's probably the best slide you've seen. So that's really good.
Is that what I've gone with?
That's a superlative there.
But, I mean, I don't like – I'm just telling you guys, why people waste their time worrying about it? It'd be like watching Michael Jordan go through a shooting slump. Come back from an injury.
No.
Super, listen to me.
It's August 10th. It's not a slump.
Listen to me. Superstar players are fine. You don't worry about them. You waste your time. You waste your time.
He's the captain.
You waste your time. How do you think he's looked in the last 6 games, like Ronald Acuna?
He's looked like a leadoff hitter.
That's it.
He's looked like a leadoff hitter.
He's looked like a superstar. Superstar. That's it. That's what he is.
Matt's shift is over. He has no cards in his sleeves.
If you want to bitch and complain about Ronald, go for it. Start yelling at the clouds.
When did bitch and complain? Have an impactful season.
I've heard more bitching and complaining about Ronald.
I compare Michael Jordan to, quote, a shooting slump. A shooting slump is they went out west for 4 games and he didn't hit anything.
Anytime Ronald makes a mistake, people pounce on that dude in a way that's just obnoxious. It's obnoxious.
You said, how did he look?
He's
looked like a leadoff hitter.
He's looked like a superstar.
He's looked like Ricky Henderson.
11-for-24.
No, not even. Ricky had power.
2 doubles, a home run, 4 RBIs, 6 runs scored, 2 stolen bases. Yeah, that'll work. Tonight it's Kyle Wright against Nick Pavetta at 7:10. And Vaughn Grissom will be in the lineup tonight. He's batting 9th, playing second
sensation.
Base.
Sensation Vaughn on the pitch now.
Different guy.
You can close the book on Kelner.
Thank God. So Grissom comes up at 21 years old, and I love this move. This to me is so much better than trying to bring back a Didi Gregorius who's available, or like get Andrelton Simmons in here to play second base. Grissom is essentially the same age as Michael Harris, same kind of time in Double A. We've seen the Braves show you. They did this with Strider. That they've done it with Harris. They did it with Soroka a few years ago. They're like, if we think you can handle it, boom, you're coming up. And I love this idea of getting Grissom some major league time.
They'll give you a chance to fail.
The glove is probably not going to be what he's known for. It's good enough, but everybody talks about the hit tool. And everything you read about Vaughn Grissom is he's going to be able to handle the bat. So you'll have him at the bottom of the order, which is tremendous tonight. We love debuts. We always love seeing the new guy. I mentioned earlier, if you're a family member of this, I can't even like fathom what this must be like to watch your kid make his major league debut. Vaughn Grissom was getting his diploma in high school 3 years ago. He went to prom 3.5 years ago. Now he's going to be on a major league field at Fenway Park.
I'm trying to remember. Remember Alex Wood? Wasn't it like a midsummer thing? And they kept showing his mom in the stands and all that. We've had that. We've had Francoeur
McCann.
All of that.
But Jason Hayward.
Good stuff, man.
It's awesome. It's the best thing that we get to see out of these rooks. So we'll see what that looks like tonight. Also, Kirby Yates is back. Another bullpen option to give the Braves more depth there, and it's probably needed after they had to work the bullpen the way they did.
That was the thing. The only thing, and I realize it's conditioned to modern day stuff.
Mind?
Yes.
Oh.
it used to be different. If you go back even like 15 years ago, there was a chance that one, maybe two guys through the rotation could go 7, 8, or possibly even 9. Now, when you know you're going to be using 4 or 5 relievers every night, you have a night where you got to pitch like 2 or 3 innings you shouldn't have. That can throw you off balance for a week.
It can.
Especially when you just had a doubleheader and you got another one coming up.
Yeah, you're hopeful that Kyle Wright can take you deep tonight. We'll see what it looks like again. 7:10, the game is yours on the Fan and the Fan mobile app. The Falcons will be on the field in a little more than 48 hours. Friday night at 6 against the Lions in Detroit. They are 1-point favorites in the game, if you're into such things. Chuck, there is big news out of Flowery Branch.
What?
Are you sitting down? Are you ready? Desmond Ridder is listed on the unofficial depth chart as the second string quarterback. I think there are only 2 quarterbacks on the roster. Sorry, Felipe Franks. Apologies. Felipe's a Q end.
Okay.
So Desmond, unofficial depth chart, number 2 for the Falcons. Whoa!
If there were an official depth chart, what would you guess he would be?
Probably 2.
Okay.
Probably 2.
If there was a rumored depth chart.
Maybe 2.
If there are only 2 quarterbacks on the roster officially, where do you think he falls?
I don't want to slander Felipe Franks because he's a Q end, but probably Desmond would be 2. Probably. I can't officially say, but on the unofficial depth chart.
Who broke that news?
It's been all over the place, Chuck. No. I can't attribute it to anybody because it's an unofficial depth chart, you say.
Oh, okay.
It's not an official. They don't release that for a preseason game. But the excitement is palpable. We're going to get to see Desmond spin on Friday.
I see that number go to 2.5, 3 now.
Very exciting. A lot to look forward to.
Movement, steam on the Falcons.
I mean, Des Ridder, number 2 on the unofficial depth chart.
It's time to wing it. Brought to you by Wingin' Burger Factory. With over 50 Atlanta locations, find yours at WNBFactory.com.
All righty, then. We'll take your Wingin' It idea answers at the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Do you remember on the show when we read some facts from the Twitter site Fact? The Twitter follow that we talked about? Saw this note this morning there. Did you know chocolate is good for your teeth?
Chocolate!
It can help fight against bacteria in the mouth and stop dental decay. That's big deal right there. So, of course, we want your number 1 pick in the chocolate draft.
Chocolate!
It can also give you diabetes.
Chuck, you're looking at the negative side of life, as you're typically known to do. I'm trying to give you no dental decay, and you're like, oh, diabetes. Can you not accentuate the positive somewhere?
Sweeten up your blood, as my grandmother would say.
Jesus Christ.
Intercourse can give you STDs. I mean, what do we...
How about new rule on the show, 12 minutes after 3, we don't work intercourse in.
STDs is fine.
Yeah, but... STDs I can live with. Intercourse, that's just not. Carpool line, bro.
Nutella.
Okay. Kids like the Nutella.
Isn't that hazelnut?
And cocoa.
I think BJ's got a point. Wait a minute. BJ. And now he's looking ingredients now.
Chocolate.
Hazelnut cocoa spread.
All right, Daryl Dawkins.
Chocolate!
Nobody under 30 is going to understand that joke at all.
Chocolate thunder.
I'm going to give you this obsession I'm on. These peanut butter M&Ms are the greatest thing I've ever eaten. I didn't think you could top the Reese's Pieces. The peanut butter M&M.
Oh, you found a new friend. You mentioned that the other day.
I can't get enough of these things. I mean, it's orgasmic.
Now,
oh, wait, let's not do orgasmic after we do intercourse. What is happening here?
Bus line, man. Come on.
Sorry to the kids.
New rule, 13 minutes after the show, you can't use the word orgasmic.
Okay, deal. We're making new rules as we go. I like it. Peanut butter M&Ms, Chuck, please try them.
Yeah. No, I'm familiar with them. I'm just...
Wonderful. Oh, it's so good.
You don't have a stop sign. You don't have an off button, though. That's the issue with you.
That's because I'm fat and disgusting and old.
It could be a TV show.
Sure.
It could be that crap you spray in your nose.
Oh, I haven't done Afrin in years. I quit it. Now BJ does the Afrin.
You don't have an off button.
I have an addictive personality. That's true.
So these M&Ms?
Oh, they're so amazing. I mean, I don't know if I can live without them.
You know what? Amazon delivers them.
I have them every... Oh, I've got a big bag at home now.
The share size that you don't share?
It says share size. I don't share it. That's right. BJ.
That just means a lot more for yourself.
Yes.
It's a tie between the Sonic chocolate shake and the Andes chocolate mints.
Can I add a curveball? And you made me remember this yesterday. Have you guys had the Hooters chocolate cake?
It's legit. It's
unbelievably good.
It's chocolate cake with chocolate icing. And I mean, it's almost like it's dark chocolate, almost fudge icing.
And chocolate chips.
It's tremendous.
And chocolate
chips.
The only reason I saw BJ eating it yesterday.
Well done. It's great. Hooters, yes.
Hoyt, you're
enough. This is peanut butter cups. Peanut butter, chocolate.
They're great.
Okay. Perfect. I gave Matt a recommendation. Now, this is, you know, prior Chuck. That's what we call him, prior Chuck.
Uh-huh. Go back to fat Chuck real quick.
Past life Chuck.
Thank you. Not the other, with Hoyt said.
Wow.
Peanut butter Snickers?
Oh, that sounds good.
They come in cubes. It's not like just a candy. King size would give you four, or some the share size now.
Call it Chuck size.
Chuck size. Me size, it would have four of the peanut butter Snicker cubes in it. It is tremendous. I hadn't had a candy bar in 5 years. If I was going to have one right now, no. If I was going to have four right now, I would have four of those.
You know you want it bad. You need it.
They would be tremendous, and I don't miss sugar in the least. That is great.
You'll always be fat to me.
I haven't had sugar since this morning. I haven't had sugar since this morning, and I miss it. I do. Dan Matthews.
Nestle Crunch.
It's classic, bro. It's a classic spot. So who is the number one pick in your chocolate draft? You'll send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Speaking of food, we're going to play everybody's favorite game, What's in Your Mouth?
Put it in your mouth.
In 15 minutes for glittering prizes. Coming up next, though, we've seen that same Braves win so many times since Snit arrived.
Where's Brian Snitaker?
I haven't met Brian Snitaker.
Let's do something else.
Maybe he's out having a steak. I don't know. The point is, we've seen that one since Snit arrived, which makes me think this isn't coincidence at all. We'll talk about it next.
Coming up at 3:30, your chance to win tickets to the Taste of Atlanta if the guys can figure out what's in their mouth on Chuck and Chernoff.
Yeah, we don't have much of a budget on this show, so we got to make do with what we have, and we'll give you a chance at 404-231-1680 to play along with us. We've got Braves Mets tickets to give away in 5 minutes if you can help determine what's in his mouth.
Melts in your mouth, not in your hands.
We've also got Taste of Atlanta tickets. We've got some of the cool replica stadiums from homefields.com. So start lining up, 404-231-1680. All you have to do is help us figure out if Dan and the interns can figure out what's going in their mouths. Simple enough, right? The 3 o'clock hour of our show is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. You can listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast that's posted at 680 The Fan's website, under the podcast header, or at thisstuffmatters.net. Braves will go tonight with the Red Sox game two of their quick two-gamer. Vaughn Grissom, the latest hotshot prospect to make his debut, will bat ninth and play second base for the Braves. Kyle Wright gets the ball. Braves still seven out as the Mets have decided they never want to lose again. So we'll see what happens coming up this evening. Chuck, in the midst of a 162-game season, there are some games, and we do this almost every year, where I'm like, that felt bigger. And last night to me felt a little bit bigger, only because how poorly the Braves played in New York, dropping three in a row. It's their first three-game losing streak of the year. And I don't think last night's game changed any direction. But I know this. Had the Braves lost, the panic in the streets would have been real. They're going to blow it. They're not going to the postseason. Forget about the Mets. They're not going to make the wild card. There would have been that panic that typically happens when a team goes on a losing streak. But conversely, to win the way they did in a game that went back and forth, that was kind of wild, to win it in extra innings, I think it's, for 162 games, a little bit bigger. And it's also on the night when the Mets won again, Phillies won again, Padres won, Brewers won. So you're starting to see things tighten up in the NL playoff race. So that one felt, for that reason, even more important. And it was a bounce back. But that's been a Snit calling card. The Braves, since Snit has gotten here, they stay away from long losing streaks. They will have a dog game on a Thursday on a getaway day, and then they'll fly across country to the West Coast and play a tough West Coast road trip and win in Arizona or win in San Diego or win in L.A. The regular season's one thing, and it's important. But I think if you wanted to know the Snit influence on this team, that he doesn't overreact, he doesn't panic, and the team reflects it, all you have to do is think in the postseason. That team last year in the postseason never lost two in a row. They lost the opener in Milwaukee, bounced back to win game two up there after having the offense shut down.
Yeah.
They blew the game three against the Dodgers in the NLCS, which we all panicked. Braves went out and crushed.
I thought that bailed out Dave Roberts.
Well, then they crushed the Dodgers in game four, 9-2. Dodgers.
Yeah, Roberts put himself back in the soup.
Dodgers survived game five, and then the Braves came home and closed them out in six. Do you remember the conversation around here after the Dodgers? Dodgers won 11-2 in game five in LA, and everybody's like, that's going to happen again. They're going to blow it. And the Braves shut the door in game six. Same thing happened in the World Series. They lost game two in kind of ugly fashion. Then they won the game three, the game four. They had the 4-0 lead in game five of the World Series. When they lost it, you guys remember what the talk was? Going back to Houston, they're going to find a way to blow it. Braves closed it out in blowout fashion in game six. This stuff is not coincidence at this point with Snit. His team reflects the way his demeanor is, and I think it's a very big deal.
He's learned it over the past 50 years. And it goes back to his, the story is the high school state champions and then as a Braves draftee and then on from there. If you're Aaron Boone or Brett Boone and your dad played big league ball and then became a coach or manager and granddad was an all-star and all that, you grew up knowing how baseball go. If you're just a regular 25-year-old, you do overreact to this stuff unless you look down the bench and you got a bunch of veterans or you got an old dude in the dugout who has seen everything over 50 years and experienced the good outcome. Snitker has been around this organization during times when it looked bleak and then they made the postseason anyway. He was in the organization in 1982 when they had a horrid August where they blew a huge lead, then had to come back and win on the final day of the season. He was in the organization at least. He was here when it went from 90 to 91. He saw that. He's seen so many tough June and Julys that turned into postseason bursts and even a World Series title. Believe me, Snit has seen it all. That's where the experience does come in. Now, not everybody learns that lesson.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's add to it, though, right?
But Snit does. And in this organization, that's been pretty constant.
Leadership demeanor matters.
Yeah.
See, I'm one who at times will look at Snit and go, well, that bullpen thing, I didn't love that move. Or strategically, I didn't love that. I don't ignore that. But I also give a ton of attention to what he does managing 25, now 26 dudes who will say the same thing about that guy 6 months out of the year, that we love everything about him. He never goes crazy when things are going poorly for the 3-game losing streak. And he never rides the wave of emotion when things are going great and we win 14. That matters in that game. This is not football. This is not basketball where emotion can carry you. Emotion can ruin you in baseball, and I think the Braves reflect that of Snit over that grind, and it's a huge deal.
Okay, you brought up something earlier. I was saying the same thing last night. Like, first base is open, game's on the line. Austin Riley, who, by the way, since July 1st, Matt, he's the best hitter in he's hitting almost 400.
But why the Red Sox were like, we'll pitch to him.
And so I'm a guy sitting on my couch 100 miles away, never had anything to do with the outcome of a major league game, and I'm like, I know what to do here.
You're further away from Boston than that, but I get you.
The strategy is easy to figure out. It's so funny you thought of this today because I was thinking of a different sort of angle to it, but it's the same message. Major League Baseball manager, it's not about knowing what to do. You need to. It's about being somebody that the 25 guys look at and go, okay, I'll follow his direction. I'll bust my ass. I'll do something. If you have the respect of the players and that you can actually motivate them, that is, oh my, the X's and O's, quote, of baseball should be the easy part.
Doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. That's part of it.
It's getting a 30-year-old dude to go out there and bleed a little bit. And Snit has everybody willing to go out there and bleed.
I cannot explain to you what goes on in Philadelphia with the Phillies, and I don't care. But something changed with that ball club when Girardi was fired. Yeah. I don't watch them every night to know what's happened.
Horrible fans that wouldn't give the guy's girlfriend a home run ball.
But they're awful people. They're just not good folks. And that's fine. They're born into that. But there's something about, like last night again, August, don't make too big of a deal. Won that game. Everybody calms down. Go out and beat the Red Sox again tonight. Try to roll into the Mets series after you play the Marlins. All right, let's try to give away some stuff in a very immature sort of way.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi.
Wednesday, and it's 3:30. That means it's game time on Chuck and Chernoff. Today we are playing What's in My Mouth. And now your host, a man who's had his cousin's tongue in his mouth, Brian Hoyt.
Oh, boy.
Step cousin.
Do we ever think about changing that production?
No, I'm proud of it.
So she had her tongue in your mouth?
I think it was me.
Dude, that's your cousin.
Step cousin.
I understand, but you still know.
Hang on. Does that mean there's no DNA that y'all share, though?
Correct.
But there's boundaries. Do you not respect boundaries?
It's just another person.
So
are y'all still step cousins?
Yeah, we didn't get married. It's not Lisa.
No. Did the union that brought you together?
Are they still together?
No, actually.
Oh, so you're not step cousins. Yeah. So you can do whatever you want with her now.
You should call her. See what she's doing on Facebook.
Anyway, so the way this game
is... Hey, cuz, remember me?
The way this game is played is Dan and Chuck will normally be blindfolded, but Chuck took today off, so it will instead be an intern.
No. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I had a very unfun experience in this game last time. It was very stressful for me.
Okay.
So they will be blindfolded. Instead, it'll be Dan and an intern today that will be blindfolded.
Yeah, I don't think this is legal for an intern. This is like hazing or something. I think legally it's called hazing. Yeah, and the owner of the company is a contract attorney. So
you know what you do? You ask for forgiveness, not permission.
So Matt will bring on the caller. Mm-hmm. The caller will then have to pick a number, 1 through 12. We have 12 items that they will be blindfolded. All you have to say is, will they know what's in their mouth or not? You get it right, you win.
So then here's what's going to happen. Hoyt will tell you, the audience, what the item is. We won't hear it in studio. So then the caller will just have to guess. Will Dan or the intern know what's in their mouth?
Simple enough.
This is so easy. Now we
what's
have
in my mouth?
That's it. We have Canadian Andrew who's going to be reading us the prizes today, and we've got Braves-Mets tickets, homefields.com, replica stadiums, Taste of Atlanta tickets, yes.
Like a Panamanian Andrew?
Says right here, Canadian Andrew. Are you Canadian Andrew?
I am Canadian.
Brazilian Andrew? Like, are we trying to distinguish him
now, Dan,
from the others?
I guess so. Dan Matthews will be playing against American Cam. He's an intern, and that's all we know about him. Hello, American Cam. Ooh. How are you? Just talk.
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
He's like trying to find the mic. Just talk.
All right. I got the blindfold on.
Wait, there's nothing creepier than a guy with a mustache and a blindfold.
Oh, yeah, and that big, bushy, like, 80s mustache. You look like you're being led into an embassy. I mean, this is not...
I'm just trying to represent the Strider stash.
It's a very throwback thing for you.
All right, let me bring in our first caller. Here is Mark, who joins us on a Wednesday Game Time on The Fan. Mark, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Matt. How are you?
Doing great, because I don't have to eat anything. Nothing's going in my mouth. Mark.
Put it in your mouth.
If you would do me a favor, I want you to pick a number 1 through 12.
Let's do number 9.
All right, number 9. Hoyt is going to tell the audience what number 9 is.
Bird seed.
All right. So now the audience knows what it is, and now you know what it is, Mark. This is going to go to Dan Matthews.
Oh,
Do you think Dan will know what's going in his mouth?
Well, since it's Dan, no, I do not.
All right, let's take a listen here. Dan is now...
You know what, Mark? Now I might just tank it for you.
All right, take a... What do you got there? He's got a cup full of something that went
in
his mouth.
In your mouth.
Dan has got it in his mouth. Dan, what do you think that is? Describe the texture.
He's swishing it around.
Right.
Well, I mean, you have to get an accurate description.
Right. What do you think that is?
I'm going to go with sunflower seeds.
Sunflower. Is it sunflower seeds?
That was in your mouth.
No, that wasn't in your mouth. We were actually looking for bird seed, Dan Matthews. That was bird seed.
All right. Well, screw you, Mark. You lose.
Well, Mark said you wouldn't recognize it.
No, Mark won.
Mark's a winner.
Oh, okay. Well, you win.
Dan, you just taste stuff. Here's Canadian...
He was banking on the bad answer.
Yeah, he did well. Here's Canadian Andrew to tell you what you won.
You've won tickets to Taste of Atlanta in Sandy Springs, Atlanta's must-do food, beer, wine, and cocktail experience. You'll get in for free, just like the Healthcare by Homeland, eh? This all-inclusive VIP tasting experience takes place on August 19th and 20th. Enjoy foods from over 20-plus of Sandy Springs' finest restaurants while learning culinary tips and secrets with cooking demos from some of the area's top chefs. If you didn't win, buy your tickets at tasteofatlanta.com. Now back to guy who wishes he's a Mountie, Matt Chernoff.
Thank you, Canadian Andrew. A little too excited there. You got to turn it down a little.
Is there like a Taste of Saskatchewan that we should know about? Like grilled caribou or?
Hey.
No, I'm from Toronto. As American as it can get.
Oh,
All right. Let me bring in our next contestant, Brian.
We.
Brian joins us on a Game Time on The Fan. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good.
You sound excited. Brian, if you would, pick a number 1 through 12. 9 is off the board.
We're going to go with 4.
Number 4, Brian Hoyt is going to tell the audience what number 4 is before we put it in American Cam's mouth, the intern. Tell the audience what that is.
Put it in your mouth.
Horseradish. Horseradish.
All right, the audience now knows what it is.
It really looks like he should be holding up today's paper with the date visible on it.
Don't try it just yet. Brian, do you think the intern, American Cam, will know what's going in his mouth?
I'm going to say yes.
All right, here goes American Cam right now. He's putting it in his mouth.
Put it in your mouth.
What do you, is it crunchy?
It's really sour. It's soft. It's like some sort of sauce if it tastes like.
Okay. It's a sauce. Is it
goodness?
Spice to it? Is it?
Yeah, a little spicy.
A little spicy?
A little spicy.
You got some on your mustache.
And now the microphone.
What do you think that is, American and Cam?
I'm going to go with spicy mustard.
Is it spicy
that
mustard?
That was in your mouth.
All right.
No.
That was not in your mouth.
Okay, do we know how to play the game?
Well, no, we're doing fine. Apparently on the other side of the glass, it's not going so well.
What's in my mouth?
We're just hitting buttons. No, it was not a spicy mustard. You were not far off. You were looking for horseradish. Horseradish.
Not bad.
So he said spicy mustard, and you should hit the one that says that was not. There you
that
go.
That was not in your mouth.
There, yay. All
so,
right.
So Brian was not a winner. Let me bring in Sean, our next contestant.
Matt, I think we're all not winners.
I'm doing my part well, and that's all I can do is Bill Belichick would say, do your job. Here is Sean on the fan for Game Time. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Doing great. Sean, do me a favor, pick a number 1 through 12, and I will tell you 4 and 9 are gone.
We'll go with 7.
Number 7 for Dan Matthews will go in his mouth. Brian Hoyt.
Put it in your mouth.
We'll tell the audience right now what number 7 is.
Baby food, apple and chicken dinner.
Okay. So now you know what it is, Sean. Do you think Dan Matthews will know what's going in his mouth?
Yes, I think Dan Matthews knows his baby food.
All right.
All right, Dan.
Not bad. How could I not go with baby food?
No. We need a flavor. Sean's got a big mouth. Now you got to give us a flavor.
I'm going to go sweet potatoes.
That was not in your mouth.
Sorry, buddy. I tried.
Apologize, Sean. That's not what we were looking for. Dan had baby food in his mouth, as you told him.
Why would you apologize to Sean? I gave the answer.
But it's apple and chicken.
Okay, well.
Apple and chicken,
how
baby
the
food,
hell
really?
Would I ever guess that?
What are you yelling at me for?
Good combination for a kid.
I mean, they like
it's protein, it's fiber.
Try to spice it up a little bit for the kiddies. They have discerning palates at that age, you know. Here is Jeff on the fan with Chuck and Chernoff. Jeff, how are you?
Matt, doing great, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Hey, Jeff, you got to pick a number 1 through 12, and I will tell you 4, 7, and 9 are gone.
Let's go with the deuce.
The deuce, all right. This is going to go for the intern, Canadian Andrew. Brian Hoyt's going to tell the audience right now what it is.
Jello, J-E-L-L-O.
All right, Jeff, now you've heard what it is.
100%. He's got it. He's got it. He'll know it.
All right, let's
sounds
see.
Sounds almost like Colin McHugh.
American Andrew is putting it in his... I'm sorry, American Cam, the intern's putting it in his mouth. He's chewing. Describe what's going on in your mouth.
It's pretty good. Tastes like it's some sort of Jello.
Okay. I'm
trying to figure out what flavor.
Right.
Let's go with lime flavor.
That was in your mouth.
Yes, yes. Right.
There we go.
Congratulations.
Excellent job done by American Cam, the intern. Here's Canadian Andrew to tell... Who was that, Jeff? Jeff, here's what you've won.
You have won a pair of tickets to the Mets vs. Braves this Monday at Truist Park. In case you didn't know, the Mets stand for My Entire Team Sucks. And just like radio hosts in New York, they'll come into Truist Park and admire the World Series Championship banner. Because we are winners, and they are lifeless as the Maple Leafs in a must-win game. You know what I mean, you Americans. Now back to a guy who couldn't even play ringette, Matt Chernoff.
I like how you put yourself in character there. You know what I mean. That was well done. There he is, Canadian Andrew. Let's welcome in our next contestant. Here's Mike on the fan on a Wednesday Game Time. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. I need to pick a number, and I'll let you know that 2, 4, 7, and 9 are off the board.
Go number 1.
Number 1. This is going to go to Dan Matthews. So now Brian Hoyt will tell the audience what number 1 is.
Vinegar. He will be drinking vinegar.
All right, very good. Dan, not yet. Ooh. Let me ask the caller here, Mike, do you think Dan will know what's in his mouth?
I think so. I'm going to go with it. Yes.
He's going to say yes. All right, Dan is now tipping back the cup of whatever's in there. I'm getting awful looks around him. Oh, boy. No. Describe it. What do you want? Is it? Don't spin it out. No.
You're a boxer. Spin it out. Oh. Spin. Oh.
Don't spin. No spinning. He spit it out.
Is it apple cider vinegar?
Let me say this, by the way. Spinning is quitting. Is it apple cider vinegar?
That was in your mouth.
Oh, yeah. Nicely done, Dan Matthews.
I've done some liver cleanses.
That's an excellent job. So guess what? That makes our contestant a winner. Here is Canadian Andrew to tell you what you won.
You won tickets to the Taste of Atlanta and Sandy Springs Atlanta must-do food, beer, wine, and cocktail experience. This all-inclusive VIP tasting experience takes place on August 19th and 20th. It's friendly, just like the people of my homeland. Enjoy food from over 20-plus of Sandy Springs' finest restaurants while learning culinary tips and secrets with cooking demos from some of the area's top chefs. If you didn't win, buy your tickets at tasteofatlanta.com. Back to my favorite rude American, Matt Chernoff.
Thank you very much.
You got to cut it a little with water if you're going to do it.
Canadian Andrew. Somebody put something in Dan's mouth right now. Please, Dan.
Put it in your mouth.
Sounds like you need the blindfold.
You're borrowing mine. I brought that from home.
Oh, wow. Lucky me.
Is that your sleep mask?
We don't sleep with it on. Here's Eli who joins us on the fan for a Wednesday game time. Hi, Eli.
Salutations, my friends.
Eli, it's good to have you aboard. I need you to pick a number, and I will let you know that 1, 2, 4, 7, and 9 are off the board. Everything else is there for you.
Let's go with number three.
Ryan Hoyt will now tell the audience what number three is.
Sriracha. Hot sriracha.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hoyt. This is going to go to intern Cam, who's American. I will ask Eli before he puts it in his mouth. Eli, do you think the intern, American Cam, will know what's going in his mouth?
I will say no.
No. All right. If you would.
He's betting don't pass.
American Cam is putting the spoon in his mouth.
Put it in your mouth.
Now he's chewing. Tell us what are you feeling there? What's the consistency?
It's liquid sauce.
Sauce.
A little spicy to it. A little hotness. Let's go with some Tabasco sauce.
Is it Tabasco?
That was not in your mouth.
No, it's in the family, though.
Is that sriracha over there? Is that some? No, give it to me.
I agree. That's kind of in the family. It's like a step cousin.
Mm. Yeah.
Put it in your mouth.
You can kiss it. Put it in your mouth.
All right, you know what? It is hot. We're going to make Eli a winner. Let me bring in Canadian Andrew to tell you what you want.
You want a home field 3D replica of Truist Park, the home of champions. While not as old as a Saddle Dome in Calgary, the Truist Park is just as beautiful. You get to take it home to display on your bedside table so you can think happy thoughts while your wife pretends to be asleep. Now back to actionless Matt Chernoff.
Wow.
That's really is.
Getting very comfortable over there.
Personal.
Canadian Andrew's taking shots. My goodness. You have to be on the payroll if you want to do that much. Jeez. All right, one more. Let's play with our final contestant. Here's Richard, who joins us on Game Time on a Wednesday on The Fan. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Matt.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Richard, I'm great. You're going to choose between number 5 or number 8.
Let's go with number 8.
Number 5 it is, then. We're going to play number 5. Hoyt, none of these things never go the way they're supposed to. Hoyt, tell the audience what number 5 is.
Sardines.
All right. Now the audience knows, and Richard knows as well. Richard, do you think Dan Matthews will know what's about to go in his mouth?
Put it in your mouth.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Dan, if you would, he's being handed a spoon now with some item on it. Here it goes in his mouth.
Oh, put it in your mouth.
Put all it in the way your in. Mouth. Put it all the way in.
That was good enough.
No.
Put it in your mouth.
It's not in your mouth. Big. There you go, Big Dan. Here comes
me
the airplane.
Me too.
Hey, open the hangar. Here comes the airplane. Open wide.
Ah.
I told you spitting is quitting, bro. All right, what do you think, Dan? Describe what you think that a scent, a taste, a smell.
It's tuna.
It's what?
Where's the microphone? It's tuna.
Tuna. Is it tuna?
That was not in your mouth.
Oh, Daniel, I'm sorry. What you were looking for right there was sardines.
Oh.
Sardines.
All right. You want another bite?
No, I'm good. You want to finish it?
No.
In your mouth.
All right, I lied. We're going to do one more.
Not in your hands.
Let's do one more. Eli, thank you for playing. Here's one more. Here is Tim, our final contestant on The Fan. Tim, You have one choice, so you don't get to pick a number. Hoyt, tell the audience. We'll go with number 8. Tell the audience what it is.
Lemon juice. In fact, I squeezed it this morning. Lemon
juice.
The
audience now knows. So,
Absolutely, he'll know what that is.
Tim, you think the intern, Cam, the American intern, will know it? All right, here it comes, the final item. He's being hit. You got to shoot it, too, dude.
Oh, no.
You got to tip it back.
All right.
Here we go, like your 21st birthday. Here goes American. There it is. He tipped it back.
Wow.
We all have to make sense in your mouth.
Describe it. What is it? Did it have a sour?
It's
a sweet?
Sour.
Sour.
It's sour. It's a drink. Let's go with, I'm going to go with lime juice.
Is it lime juice?
That was not in your mouth.
So close. You were looking for lemon juice.
Citrus juice.
What do we do? It's in the family.
What's the prize?
What's the
prize?
What do we have left? Give him a prize.
Oh, yeah, you can give him that. Give him right.
No. Tim's a winner. Whoa. Canadian Andrew, tell him what he's won.
You won tickets to Atlanta, or you won tickets to the Taste of Atlanta in Sandy Springs, Atlanta's must-do food, beer, wine, and cocktail experience. This all-inclusive VIP tasting experience takes place on August 19th and 20th. Enjoy foods from over 20-plus of Sandy Springs' finest restaurants while learning culinary tips and secrets with cooking demos from some of the area's top chefs. If you didn't win, sorry, but if you ever make it to Canada, we can give you free poutine or just buy your tickets at tasteofatlanta.com.
Thank you.
Back to Matt Chernoff, a guy who doesn't know the greatness of Tim Hortons.
Thank you. There's Canadian Andrew. Thank you to American Cam.
Now, you can tell how young he is. He's way more trusting than I am
on this game. There's no. You guys did great. I'm very proud. Dan, awesome job.
Yeah, your mask is going to smell like gefilte fish or whatever it was now.
Based on the smells that were on there before, you're fine. It's all good. There you go. There's a successful endeavor of what's in my mouth.
What's in my mouth?
Thank you, everybody. All right, coming up next, there's another way college football gets it right versus the NFL. And it even saves us money. We'll tell you about it next. We have affectionately referred to today as Vaughn Grissom Day, the latest of the Braves prospects to get the call up. I'm looking at video that our friend Kelly Kroll tweeted out of Grissom on the field with Wash doing the Ron Washington drills.
All right, Vaughn, they tell us you're a pitcher.
He's a second baseman, really a shortstop.
You're sure not much of a dresser.
He's wearing caps and sleeves. He'll play second base and bat ninth tonight. You'll hear all that action on The Fan and The Fan mobile app if you're trying to stay connected, all your latest news, all your favorite fan shows. Do it with the Fan app, driven by Beaver Direct, the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfCumming.com to see what wow really means. Download the Fan app now in the iTunes and Google Play Store. So Charles tells me there's another way that college football gets it right, as opposed to the NFL, who gets it wrong.
This started, I was thinking about a totally separate thing about college uniforms and some really, like, rare one-offs. It kind of circled back to where I was starting to make a list of NFL teams and really all pro teams purposely changing uniforms every several seasons. All pro teams do, but specifically NFL teams, when I say change uniforms every several seasons, we know why: to move product, make money. And when I say change uniforms, the Atlanta Falcons have been, for the most part, they were really black and white with red helmets when they first started, and then red became the jersey and the more way more prominent, and black sort of went into the background. Jerry Glanville shows up. We're back in black, so whatever. But they've always been red and black and white. Matt, how many different Falcon jerseys can you name off of red, black, and we're not even going to count white as a color, okay? Mm-hmm. Just red and black. I bet we're adding piping. We're adding little triangles going down the side.
How many do they have right now? I bet they have 4 active jerseys.
And they purposely change it every 3, 4, 5. Matt and I were out at Mall of Georgia. Remember when they had Keith Brookings and Warwick Dunn?
So they did that the year after they beat Green Bay in the playoffs, and Vic is coming into all of his superpowers. They're like, let's capitalize by selling a whole new collection of number 7 jerseys.
New jerseys. I was like, it's a lot like the old one. Oh, no. There's this red stripe that goes like right through the middle.
No, they made it a more futuristic bird. Don't you remember? They had this whole description.
All of that stuff. So,
which I understand. The commerce is going to always lead the day.
And nobody ever says ish about it. In fact, there are so many NFL iterations of uniforms for a franchise that every franchise has two or three throwback uniforms that the fans can't wait to get enough of. So eventually, when you change it so often, fans have three, four, five different favorites. Let me assure you, when it comes to college football, Matthew, fans have exactly one favorite, and it's the one that we've worn for the longest time. I've talked about this before. Jim Donnan. Hoyt, do you remember the change Jim Donnan made to the Georgia helmet? He put a black stripe down the middle of the white stripe.
Yeah, it caused an uproar.
Georgia fans wanted to storm the castle. Don't do that. Auburn, I'm trying to think the only sort of one, there's been like a chrome helmet there. And they don't have alternate uniforms, and rarely do college football programs of any sort of ilk, any sort of heritage, have drastic uniform changeovers like NFL teams or NBA. I was an Astros fan. I woke up one day and suddenly they're black and gold in the mid 90s. And I'm like, how did that happen? College teams, Auburn had in 2007 against Vanderbilt, I think they had a game where they wore a throwback helmet that just didn't have the AU on the side. Like, that was the drastic change to the helmet. Some Auburn fans didn't like that. Remember Georgia way back wore a black face mask in a bowl game. Georgia fans did not like that. They have one-offs like that.
Yeah, so Georgia's done the black jersey.
But almost never do they overhaul the basic color scheme design. In fact, most programs go out of their way to not change much of that, like, ever. Folks will stop sending in donations over it.
But here's the interesting part.
For a pro team, can't get enough of it.
I will tell you the one thing, though. I think this is a generational thing. I bet if you asked younger people who are either in school right now or in their mid-20s, they'd be all gung-ho for new uniforms in college. There's a reason why I know people. Hoyt's
one of them. Literally, like, this is the old uniform. No program of note does that.
So, Hoyt, I've seen you in that black jersey a dozen times. Like, that was the way. But you wear that probably more than you wear a red or a white Georgia jersey.
That's an alternate. That's a one-off.
But what I'm telling you, my point is, I think the younger generation would be all fine for it. The older folks who hold on to the tradition and the heritage and all that stuff, like Oregon, because they have the Phil Knight backing, became the first program to be like, we're going to change our uniform every 6 minutes to make money off
of
it.
And they had no history or heritage. No. They had no history to offend the fan base by violating.
Let's be clear. College football essentially now is whitewashing all of its history and tradition and telling you it doesn't matter for the sake of money. So if the programs are doing it, not a big deal either.
I'm going to give you the one exception that I could come up with, the one real good exception. This team, at least over the last 30-plus years, has been as good as any. The Florida Gators, they were orange jerseys, orange helmet, orange jersey, white pants.
Right.
They wear blue jerseys sometimes. They wear blue pants. These are sometimes for the season. Our home jersey is the blue jersey. They've done it. Almost nobody else does that.
Wait, what were you telling me you've seen?
I've seen more throw, like you mentioned that there is no history. Do you remember the ones we wore in Arkansas in the pandemic year? The throwback 40 years?
Sure. I see white those with the red pants.
I see those everywhere.
But like, you know why? It's different. People like different.
Exactly.
That's a younger fan thing, I think.
The Kirby jerseys now from the 90s, people are wearing the 16 all over because they like the difference.
It's weird. People just like a little change. You're not wrong about its history, but I think it's a generational thing now that if you're a young 20, 22-year-old, you're like, give me a new jersey, something different to buy. Now you have discretionary. I don't know how people afford these jerseys. We just got my 9-year-old a new Dansby Swanson jersey. I was dug in. I was like, he can wear the Freddie jersey. He still has
129?
I think it was 100 and some. It's like, these jerseys are ridiculous. And he's going to grow in another 6 days. So it's like, how do you afford these things?
I'm going to give you one quick example of this. Like the Dallas Cowboys. If you go way back, like, maybe to Troy's, when Troy was first in the league, early 90s, let's say. The Dallas road jersey was the blue jersey, and they never had to wear it because they wore their white jerseys at home, and most teams wore their white jerseys on the road. But when Dallas had to wear a blue jersey, do you know what it was? It had always been, for like the first 30 years of the franchise, blue jersey, white numbers. Mm-hmm. Then it became this giant star on the sleeve, then they changed the blue.
Genius.
And then the Philadelphia Eagles, they were always this light-colored green, and remember they became the dark gray. But college teams almost never do that.
Go back to the Dallas thing. What was the change?
Jerry, money.
So, but is that make the college game smarter or just sort of like dug into their... NFL's smart to find another revenue stream.
It means that in the NFL, they recognize that their customer base will support that and give them more money. In college, they realize their customer fan base will stop sending in money.
Maybe. Georgia Tech changes their jersey every 6 minutes.
Okay, what are they? They're not Georgia.
I know. But they have honeycomb helmets. They have this helmet. They have that helmet, which I think is fine. I get your point.
Does LSU do that? Nope.
I'd have to dig into the LSU history. There's got to be some offshoot purple something. Or
they wore a white helmet, but that was a helmet they wore back like in the 50s or something. They've worn a white helmet a couple of times. But I'm telling you, for the most part, heritage, top-of-the-chart sort of programs, they don't screw with their uniforms. We're in the NFL, we're all like, yeah, screw with the uniforms.
All right, coming up next, the value of a college football coach having NFL experience, it's changed in the most dramatic way possible.
Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen.
Do we have to guess what it is?
He is back.
Love it. Who's he? We'll find out next.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.